Well, folks, this is our final show, and I want to wrap up my long tenure by sharing some of the most important lessons I have learned over these many years. You know, first, however, I want to thank everyone involved in its production. First, there's Brian Zykowitz, my engineer. Brian has been with me since 2008, and poor guy, he's been listening to every word of the show every week to make sure I sound much smarter than I am. As a matter of fact, when we're discussing the show's end, he reminded me of a story I told which made an impression on him, and it's one I had totally forgotten, so I'd like to share it with you. Back in 1987, I had been a stockbroker for 6 years, working at Merrill Lynch at the time, and was still struggling to get on my feet and build a clientele. Of course, you may remember that 1987 turned out to be a very challenging year because of the 25% market crash on October 22nd. This crash was totally unexpected and reminded everyone of the 1929 stock market crash, which ushered in the Great Depression, so everyone was scared and shaken. Unfortunately, I was the casualty of bad timing because on October 1st, I had closed on a new, bigger home and my costs had risen dramatically. That year and the few that followed created a tsunami of events for me, a combination of high expenses combined with lower income, similar to what is going on with a lot of folks today due to the COVID crisis. In order to keep everything going, I used my credit cards and any other debt I could muster just to stay afloat. And I wasn't alone. A lot of my fellow brokers in the business were in trouble too, and some of them decided to file for bankruptcy the following year. I was tempted. It was easy to do, and I noticed that those who did were still able to get a loan to buy cars and other things, and it didn't seem like it had much in the way of serious consequences. So I thought about it, I thought hard about it, and finally decided not to do it, though it would have relieved me of much pressure and anxiety. My reasons? Well, first and foremost, I felt I owed this money and it should be paid back. Now, I know it's not possible for everyone to adopt this attitude, but I was still earning a living and slowly building a clientele, and I had hoped that this difficult time would eventually improve. And I hoped it wouldn't turn out to be a race to the finish, however, so it was pretty nerve-wracking. Also, I didn't really know what the true effects of the future would be if I went bankrupt. There's a lot of unforeseen consequences that can happen when you make big decisions like that. So, here's the point of my story. 8 years later, in 1996, after being so unhappy with the sales culture of the brokerage business, I desperately wanted to change the way I did business. Fortunately, an opportunity arose which allowed me to start my own fee-only financial planning and advisory business and create my own culture. However, there was one caveat, and guess what that was? In order to head up a firm as an investment advisor, I would not have been allowed had I declared bankruptcy. Wow, I thought, I really missed that bullet. All that followed, a business that I loved, great clients, and this radio show would not have happened had I taken the other course of action. So the bottom line is, you never know what the consequences will be of taking what for me would have been the easier way out. Okay, before I get into today's commentary, I want to thank a few people who have been a tremendous help to me. First, my producer, Erica Stimolo. You know, we're a small operation here, and Erica is the chief cook and bottle washer, and I've relied on her common sense to help guide me week after week. Happily, Erica has accepted a new position with my former investment firm, and all will be okay. My editor, Carol Malzone, who is also my partner in life, has transported our website and weekly update into the literary light. I'm proud to say we've been using the Oxford comma for years now, and that in addition to that upgrade, she has caught every nuance and tone that would make any publisher proud. And finally, I want to thank you all for your support, especially those who over the years have written me via the website, have become clients and friends. And I also want to mention the kind emails we've received over the past few weeks. Thanks to you all. And now for my commentary. You know, as I thought about my final words, it occurred to me that the same themes have consistently reoccurred. So I'm going to take them one by one because I think this is a list for getting it right. It's a recipe for wealth creation and smart financial living. These are not magic bullets, but taken together, they can help you achieve the kind of financial security we all seek. First, Know what you can control and what you can't. You know, it's the old serenity prayer from AA. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So, what is it that we can control and what is it that we can't? Well, you can't control the stock market. You can't control interest rates and inflation. You can't control your job security to a degree, and especially unexpected events like virus pandemics. You know, who'd have thought? You can control your emotions, how much you save, how much you spend, and your personal cost of living. You can also control the personal and financial decisions that you make. So concentrate on that. If you're spending your days playing the random casino of the stock market, in the long run, you will lose valuable time and money. Also, when it comes to investing, you should have a knowledgeable partner with you at all times. If it's a seasoned family member, fine. If you have no one, you should hire a fee-only advisor. I have seen so many do-it-yourselfers blow up again and again. People who think they can outsmart the market by following the buy-buy-buy action and the sell-sell-sell action of the market. Remember, investing is simple, but it's not easy. Even if Warren Buffett can buy a great company like Heinz, and also four major airlines, and get snookered, what makes anyone think they're going to do better? Also, you want to find someone who will analyze your whole financial life, not just your investments. There are wonderful tools available today to help guide you. An advisor who is a master of these tools can be a tremendous help. With regards to investments, once again, you can concentrate on expenses and taxes, which are definitely under your control. You see, investing in the market indexes around the world will bring you the vast majority of your return over the years, and you can increase that return by owning things which charge low fees and don't spew out capital gains. You know, talking about advisors, they come in many varieties. Insurance agents, transactional brokers, annuity salesmen, lawyers, trust officers, and investment advisors. And there are good and bad people in all of these. But focusing on the compensation structure is one of the best ways to weed out conflicts of interest. Now look, everyone works to earn a living. Just make sure that their compensation aligns with your goals. All right, here's another thing. Expect difficult periods, times when things don't go your way. You may plan to retire on X date, but a pandemic accelerates it or messes everything up. Make sure you have your finances in order so it doesn't throw you for a loop. Now, what do I mean? Get your debt levels modest. Make sure you have an adequate emergency cash fund. Get insured. I'm talking about life insurance and health insurance. Make sure your long-term investments are low-cost and tax-efficient, as I said before. Max out your 401k if you can. You know, these are just some examples of having your house in order, but I think you get the picture. Also, stay invested. Don't let current worry cause you to lose faith in a well-diversified mix of quality assets. You know, if you have thousands of stocks contained in your funds, and if you actually checked, they are probably thousands of stocks, they are not going to zero, even though it can feel like it sometimes. And really, CDs are not safe for your long-term savings. Don't be fooled. You may feel safe right now, but you will find that you start to run out of money because they won't keep up with inflation. I have seen this sorry scenario time and time again. After taxes and inflation, you will lose money. And as I said before, the economy does not go to zero and your stocks won't either if you're diversified. You know, remember that your stocks will go up 20% in a given year, but if they do, remember that higher return is really the cushion for the inevitable bad times. The real rate of return is going to be quite a bit less than 20%. Well, those are some of the ideas for keeping you on the right path in the years ahead. As I said, no magic bullets, but perhaps some good common sense. And as for me, I'll concentrate on the words of the beloved Fred Rogers, who said, "Often when you think you're at an end of something, you're really at the beginning of something else." And I think that's definitely going to be true for me. And also, George Bernard Shaw, who said, "You don't stop laughing when you grow old. You only grow old when you stop laughing." Once again, thanks for all the years and best of luck to you all, and Godspeed.